The gospel today tells us of the great miracle of Cana, when our Lord turned water into wine. This miracle is symbolic of various things, but one of the most important mysteries this has been used to explain is that of the Holy Eucharist. Just as our Lord used his divine power to change the substance of the water directly into wine in the gospel today, so he uses his divine power also to change bread and wine directly into his body and blood in the Mass. The Church tells us that as soon as these short, simple words of consecration are pronounced in the Mass by the priest, that our Lord is truly and really present on the altar under the humble appearances of bread and wine, which are still there. We have to believe that this great miracle of transubstantiation, which means that one substance is turned into a different substance, is always being performed in the Church by priests. Our Lord said to his apostles, "Do this for a commemoration of me," when he consecrated the Holy Eucharist for the first time at the Last Supper, and he commanded the apostles to do the same thing. And therefore he gave them and their successors the power also to consecrate the Holy Eucharist. It is amazing to see the constant, unchanging faith of the Church in this beautiful and profound mystery. Every Catholic instinctively enters the Church with a sense of awe because he knows that our Lord is truly present in the tabernacle. Every time we come to church, we are like the three kings. We want to bring a present for our Lord, a present of our love and homage. His teaching of our Lord is so clear that it is not just Catholics who believe in the Holy Eucharist, but almost all the schismatics believe in this mystery as well, and many heretics too. It would be almost impossible for someone to believe in our Lord on any level and not believe in the Holy Eucharist. And it is very difficult to believe that our Lord is God and at the same time to reject the love that he has shown us in instituting this holy sacrament. It's hard for us to think of any mystery of our faith that is harder for our reason to accept. And yet we know that nothing is impossible for God. And God told us that he is present in the Holy Eucharist, in words that are so clear that we can't possibly deny them. But the Church doesn't just tell us that our Lord is present in the Holy Eucharist. She also shows that in her actions. The Church adores our Lord as God in the host. She pays honor to the consecrated host that can only be given to God himself. In benediction, we bow in front of the Holy Eucharist in the monstrance and offer incense to it. Throughout the ages, the Church has built the most magnificent buildings ever seen on earth, anywhere, in order to house the Holy Eucharist. Look at the great cathedrals of the Middle Ages and the beautiful Baroque churches of later times. They are so magnificent that nothing like that could be built today, even with all the technology that we have. And yet the Church built those places in times when the technology was practically at the level of the Stone Age. And the Church spent decades and sometimes centuries building just one cathedral. And uncountable amounts of money were poured into these great works of art. What is the purpose of this? It is that these churches are like a little heaven on earth that the Church is trying to build to put God into here on earth, so that God could have an abode here with us in the Holy Eucharist that might, to some tiny degree, be worthy of his holy presence. The Church also wanted to build these things so that we would understand the greatness and beauty of God when we go and visit him in such churches, so that we see the heavenly beauty and magnificence of these places. that makes us understand that God is truly there. Unfortunately, these churches are now little more than historic buildings or museums because God is no longer present in them, in the glorious cathedrals, but he is still present in our humble churches today, traditional Catholic churches, where he is surrounded by people that believe in him and love him. Our Lord loves to see the worship that is given to him, that was given to him by the church in building these great churches. But what happened is that the people in those churches gradually lost their faith until our Lord finally abandoned them in their darkness. And we have to remember that, because if we want our Lord to remain with us in the few humble churches that we have today, then we have to pay him honor and love, or he will leave us as well. In the Divine Liturgy, the Church has regulated the ceremonies by which we honor our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament down to the smallest details. The Church doesn't trust anyone else to come up with ways of honoring our Lord in this great sacrament. And in her worship, the Church uses all the rarest and most precious substances in the world. She requires the chalice to be made of gold and silver, and adorned with jewels if possible. She requires the candles to be made out of beeswax, the best kind of wax. The cloths on the altar have to be made of linen and nothing else, because linen is symbolic of purity of soul. And so on, in every detail of worship, the Church regulates everything to be as holy as possible and to show us the presence of our Lord as clearly as she can. Everything in the liturgy has a spiritual meaning and a symbolism. This is why it is so easy for us to be recollected in church, especially when Mass is being celebrated. Now, our Lord also manifests himself in various ways in the Holy Eucharist, despite his hidden presence. He manifests himself inwardly in our souls, and sometimes even outwardly as well. First of all, he shows himself in our souls when we receive him in Holy Communion by reforming our fallen nature. When we receive Holy Communion, our Lord gives us power over our passions and our lower nature. How could he not? When he was on earth, he said, "Have confidence, I have overcome the world." And when he was in a boat in the middle of a storm, he said, "Peace, be still." And the storm stopped immediately. He does the same thing when he comes into our souls and when we receive him in Holy Communion, especially to someone who is disturbed by his passions. When our Lord comes into the soul of someone who is inclined to be proud or angry or avaricious or impure, he commands the demons to leave that person alone. When he was on earth, there was one time when they brought before our Lord someone possessed by the devil. And our Lord said to the demons, "Loose him and let him go." And the demons immediately freed that man. The demons must obey our Lord. And so he does the same thing for someone tormented by temptation when that person receives Holy Communion. Our Lord says to the demons, "Loose this person and let him go." And the person who receives Holy Communion feels stronger in his spiritual life because of this. After he receives Holy Communion, he can say, like St. Paul, "In all these things we have overcome because of him who has loved us." This person has had a sudden change take place in his soul. It is like a fire has been lit in his heart. Fire of the love of God. But obviously, if our Lord were not in the sacred host, none of these things would happen. All of this is something above the power of human nature. It's a lot more difficult to repair human nature than to make it in the first place. It is very difficult for us to correct a bad habit. In fact, it's harder for us to correct a bad habit than to do a good deed, even something heroic. because habit is like a second nature to us, and we can't change our nature. It's almost impossible. So that is proof just in itself that our Lord is present in the host because of the way that it gives us power over our temptations. There is another way that our Lord manifests himself interiorly in our souls when we receive him in Holy Communion. It doesn't just help us overcome temptation. It also raises us up to God. Our Lord forms us into his own image when we receive him. He purifies us and he makes us love him more. Holy Communion is the great sacrament of love. Our Lord gives himself entirely to us when we receive him in Holy Communion, and he makes us also give ourselves entirely to him by giving us the love of him. People who receive Holy Communion also have an air of virtue and peace about them that you can see. It is the beauty of their soul reflected in their demeanor exteriorly. This is another manifestation of our Lord and his activity in this great sacrament. Thirdly, our Lord manifests himself interiorly by giving us strength when we receive Holy Communion. When we have a difficulty or a misfortune or some trial in life, we can always find strength in the Holy Eucharist to endure our sufferings. And we can overcome temptation the same way. We will not find strength like that anywhere else except in Holy Communion. So if receiving Holy Communion really gives us that superhuman strength, then that is proof that God is truly there. This is why people have to take this great sacrament very seriously, especially people who have these sorts of problems, who have a habit of sin or some difficulty in their life. A lot of people go from week to week or month to month in the state of mortal sin, and they don't receive Holy Communion or go to confession either. And sometimes they have maybe even given up on being able to stay in sanctifying grace. All of this is a temptation of the devil, who knows exactly what I'm describing. And he will do anything to keep people away from Holy Communion because he knows how powerful it is at taking souls out of his power. Someone who is having trouble overcoming temptation to mortal sin has to receive Holy Communion even more than anyone else. Of course, he has to go to confession first with true sorrow for his sins. And then he has to receive Holy Communion. And he has to do both of these things as much as he possibly can. And he will truly see gradually a transformation towards virtue in his soul if he does this. All of these are the secret and hidden ways in which we see the effects of the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. But there are also even public ways that our Lord sometimes shows his real presence. Sometimes in the past, people who have profaned the Holy Eucharist have been miraculously punished by God, stricken dead, or stricken with some terrible disease. Or when Judas received Holy Communion sacrilegiously at the Last Supper, it says that Satan entered into him. And St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said that the reason they were asleep in the practice of their faith was because many of them had received Holy Communion in the state of mortal sin. Our Lord even shows his power over the demons in the Blessed Sacrament. There have been many cases of people possessed by the devil who refused to leave, but when they were put in the presence of the Holy Eucharist, the devil then screamed in rage and left that person in peace. One time, St. Bernard was saying Mass in Milan, and during Mass, after the Paternoster, he placed the chalice and the paten on the head of the woman who was possessed. And the devil left her screaming, he said, "Jesus Christ, the good God, is there." Many people have been cured of disease by the Blessed Sacrament too. St. Gregory Nazianzen tells us that his own sister was very sick and had been sick for a long time. One night she got up and prayed before the tabernacle in the middle of the night, and she said to our Lord, "I will not leave from here until you have cured me." And at that moment she was cured instantly. Our Lord has even miraculously manifested himself in the Holy Eucharist many times. Sometimes he has made the host shine with a heavenly light, or has made the host to bleed to show his precious blood. But of course we don't need these miracles to tell us that he is there, since we already know that based on his own word. But these things just prove that his words are true. We need to have a strong faith in the presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. But our belief in the real presence is a great treasure that we have to seek with humility. We have to preserve it also with gratitude and piety, and we have to protect this belief at all costs. It is the worst thing in the world not to believe in the Holy Eucharist. But is it really possible for someone who has believed in the Holy Eucharist to completely lose his faith in it? Blessed Peter Aimar doesn't think so. He says that a child might despise his parents or even insult them, but he will never fail to recognize them. And in the same way, no one can ever forget the happiness of his first Holy Communion. But when people's belief in the Holy Eucharist grows dim, it is never because of the arguments against it by heretics. It is usually because of sin and worldliness. Imagine there is someone who has become so worldly that he hardly thinks about the Holy Eucharist anymore and neglects coming to Mass. His faith is almost gone. But if he is brought back to a sense of his conscience and to repentance, the first thing that God's grace will draw him back to is the Holy Eucharist, receiving communion again. Another reason why people neglect the Holy Eucharist and their faith can go dim is because of their lower nature. People begin to fall more and more into sins of impurity, and that always has a darkening effect on the faith and on our mind in general. And people like this, if they examine their conscience, they will see that they began to neglect receiving Holy Communion at the same time they surrendered to their passions. Those two things are diametrically opposed, and a person must choose one or the other. Another thing that can make us have a weak faith in the Holy Eucharist is associating too much with unbelievers or people who don't believe in the Holy Eucharist, which, generally speaking, is the case for people who go to the Novus Ordo. It causes scandal to us to see so many people who are indifferent to God and who live like unbelievers. Someone who exposes his faith to these dangers and to too much worldliness will start to think, how can God not punish these people if they really are as wicked as the Church says that they are? If God were really present in the Holy Eucharist, why does he not punish these people who are so irreverent to him? Although, of course, in the Novus Ordo, there's no true Holy Eucharist there to begin with. And you see that especially also in people's behavior. Though we can start to think that so many unbelievers or Novus Ordo people seem to be good people, and this is a great danger to our faith. If we expose ourselves to this, it can lead us to loss of our faith, and this is the worst thing that could ever happen to us. But if we don't believe in the real presence of Christ, we are denying the power of God himself. Someone who doesn't believe in the presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist is accusing him of lying when he said, "This is my body and this is my blood." Someone like that despises our Lord's goodness, like the disciples who turned their back on our Lord when He promised to give them his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. Some of his disciples went away and they didn't follow our Lord anymore when he said that. They couldn't believe his great love for them. And someone who doesn't believe in the Holy Eucharist will soon lose his faith in the other mysteries too. And his virtue will become naturalistic and eventually will disappear entirely. The Holy Eucharist is the food of our soul and our virtue. If we are not nourished by the body of Christ, we will soon lose any sense of love of God and hatred of sin. We will lose any sense of piety too. If we don't want to come to church to be in the presence of our Lord, whom we see by faith, then what else is there that we can do to worship God? Our piety will disappear. So let us always believe in the Holy Eucharist with a firm faith. Let us say with the humble man in the gospel, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." There is nothing that gives greater glory to our Lord than this act of faith in the Holy Eucharist. We are honoring truthfulness in the highest possible way. It is a great honor to anyone to take his word for something. And it's sometimes sort of an insult to require people to prove to us what they tell us is true. So we have to take our Lord's word and trust him with a simple faith, despite the veil that he has in front of his presence in the appearances of bread and wine. If we believe the opposite of what our senses tell us, just based on the word of God, then that is a strong act of faith. Let us believe firmly in the real presence of Christ and the Holy Eucharist. When we come into the church, we should feel a sense of awe and reverence. And if we receive communion frequently and worthily, then as our Lord said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.